Chapter 19. Ira was alert now, too, and before I knew it, the redhead had a dagger in her right hand. We both glanced around to try and find the source of the noise, but just then, a loud eruption of laughter came around from the corner. Ira glanced over at me with her red eyebrows pulled together, but I just shook my head. That wasn't typical for the area around my home, but we'd walked close enough to the city to be within an hour or so of walking from downtown. I had absolutely no idea what was going on round the corner. It seemed we were about to find out, though. The laughter grew louder, and another loud clank sounded. A few seconds later, a large, dark-haired man with a long beard stumbled around the grove corner, with a leather pouch in one hand and his sword in the other. The man put the drink pouch to his mouth and took a long, messy pull, so the alcohol spilled down his beard. After he finished, he laughed loudly and slammed his sword on the ground, which only made him laugh louder.
"Amen, you fucker!"
Another man slurred through his laughter as he and four others came round the corner. The men were clearly drunk and had wandered out this way mistakenly. I wasn't sure where they were headed, but nobody lived close to me except my one older woman neighbor, and I doubted they were here to see her. Whatever they were doing out here, they needed to leave. I didn't want some drunken assholes running around my neighborhood all hours of the night. Upon closer inspection of the men, I knew I'd seen a couple of them before. They were in another war band. I didn't know them well, but I'd seen them around a few times. It's just some drunken assholes, I muttered, and I relaxed my stance a little bit.
I see that.
Ira's nose wrinkled as the men continued to clank their swords against each other and on the ground. My nose wrinkled, too. That really wasn't good for the blades. I think you should stay for a while longer, at least until they're out of the area.
I really should get home,
the redhead countered. Then I'll walk you, I told her. Before she could respond, one of the guys yelled at us, and my hand instinctively tightened around my sword handle.
Hey,
the lean blonde man slurred.
You're fucking sexy, you know that.
Ira's eyebrow twitched with slight amusement. She clearly didn't find this man to be a threat, but her face showed irritation as well, and she obviously wasn't used to being talked to in such a way. I realized the men didn't recognize the redhead without her warband clothes and armor on. Most men in warbands knew the leaders of the other groups, but Ira was dressed well and looked nothing like she usually did. If these guys knew who she was, there was no way they'd talk to her like that. I knew Ira was more than capable of taking these guys out all on her own. Still, when he said that, I felt my blood boil. My jaw tensed, and I fought the urge to stab my blade through the man's chest.
And you're being quite an arsehole,
Ira said, and she put her hand on her hip.
You know that?
Whoa! She's feisty. The redhead ones always are. I like that.
You all should leave, I said through gritted teeth as I took a step in front of Ira.
Who the fuck are you?
A short brown-haired man with the group asked. I growled and moved to step forward again, but Ira put her hand on my chest to stop me.
You are all lucky you are in my friend's warband,
the redhead said seriously.
Now run on home, boys, and perhaps I won't tell your leader about this.
Who does this beak-jaw think she is?
The blonde man laughed. His use of the derogatory term only flamed my desire to make him bleed, but I respected Ira enough to allow her to decide how we would handle the situation. She was right. These men were in another warband, and I knew there was more at play here than just my emotions. Her job and title could depend on how she behaved under the circumstances. She could choose to ignore the men and report them to their leader later, or she could choose to deal with them right then. Either way, I was ready for whichever she chose.
I said run along, boys.
Ira repeated, clearly annoyed, but not bothered by the term as much as I was.
I don't really want to have to get blood on my dress.
Ooh, we're so scared.
The blonde man snickered, and he waltzed up to us. I took another small step in front of Ira and raised my chin at the man. His eyes were half closed with drunkenness, but I didn't like the way he was eyeing Ira.
"Get out of my way, boy. I'm speaking to the lady here."
"The lady told you to move along. I suggest you listen."
"Psh!"
The guy blew me off and tried to push past me. I wanted to respect Ira's wishes in the situation, but if it came down to it, then I would take the fall for taking down these assholes. Before I could even think about it, I swung my leg out and took the guy's legs out from under him, at the same time that I used my arm to push his body down. He hit the cobblestone street hard, and his fellow men shouted angrily about my abuse of their friend. Ira's green eyes caught mine. It didn't appear these guys were going to let this go, so at the moment we had no choice but to fight. The redhead didn't seem too disappointed about it, though. She nodded to me before she flipped a knife in her hand, so the blade was pointed downward and could be used for slicing.
"Ready?"
she asked with a smile. "Ready," I smiled back.
"Oh, one more thing,"
the redhead said so only I could hear.
"Try not to kill them, will ya? We're already running low on soldiers."
"You got it," I laughed. Ira and I had fought alongside each other before, but never this close. Now it was 6 against 2. These guys were drunk, though, and they didn't seem like the intelligent type to begin with. I had no doubt Ira and I would be able to take care of them quickly and send them crawling home with their tails between their legs. The group of men readied their weapons and drunkenly stumbled toward us, while the man on the ground reached for the blade on his hip. I slammed my foot down on the man's hand, and at the same time I blocked one of his buddy's attempts to slice me in half. Our swords clashed against one another, and he tried his best to push down on his so he could get it closer to my face. I quickly shoved my sword forward, and the man stumbled backward, but he wasn't ready to give up yet. Instead he growled, let out a war cry, and charged at me again. His friend on the ground tried to grab my boot with his free hand, but I quickly removed my foot from his wrist and placed it on his throat instead. The man made a terrible gurgling sound as he clawed at my calf in an attempt to get me off him. I wasn't going to kill the guy, but he didn't need to know that. The only reason I was going to spare him was because Ira had asked me to, and I had a feeling it wasn't just because the warbands were low on soldiers, like she said. I suspected this beating would only be the beginning of the punishment for these sorry sons of bitches. Ira was a respected warband leader, and I had no doubt she'd speak to their leader and figure out a suitable punishment for their foolishness. They weren't just about to get their asses handed to them. I suspected they'd be embarrassed next time they showed up for work, too. The dark-haired man with the beard charged at me again, but I focused and extended my blade before I held it up to meet his. The man raised his sword to slice down at me, but I focused again and shortened the length of my blade. The man sliced too far out, and the force of his blow carried his sword to the ground. Steel collided with the stone on the street, and I saw the guy's arms tense up with the impact. He instinctively let go of the blade and stepped back with a curse. This wasn't the kind of hit to the ground he and his buddies had been doing earlier. He'd put all his force behind that strike, and I could only imagine the reverberation that had gone up his arms. The man below me continued to claw at my boot, but I ignored him as I glanced over at Ira. I only caught a glimpse of her before I had to turn my attention to the next asshole trying to attack me, but in that instant she was sexy as hell. The redhead's long hair swung out behind her as she spun to kick. Her foot collided with her opponent's head, and I looked down and noticed the slit on her dress had ripped even higher. Now her full thigh and part of her hip was exposed. Her tan skin looked soft even while her muscles were tensed, and I wanted to pull her to me by her wide hips and run my hands all over her. The man flew to the side from her kick, but another was there in an instant to replace him. This guy tried to raise his axe to Ira, but the warband leader quickly used her dagger to catch the bottom part of his axe blade and rip the entire weapon out of his hands. A sound drew my attention back to my own opponent, and I raised my sword just in time to meet the man's battle axe. This guy was bald on top, but he had a long black beard. His jaw was clenched, and he snarled at me with breath that reeked of sweet alcohol. I thrust my arms up and pushed his axe away from me, and then I grabbed his bald head with one hand and slammed it down as I brought my knee up to meet him. The impact of my knee to his nose wouldn't kill him, just as Ira had requested, but he'd definitely have a bruise or two. Blood flooded from the man's nose, and he reached up and cupped his hands over it out of reflex. I looked over to see Ira had taken care of her men as well, so I pushed a little harder on the blonde guy's neck, and then I lifted my foot off him and stepped back. The man on the ground gasped and held his neck, and the bald man was doubled over with hands cupped over his bleeding face. The man with the dark black hair was on his knees, and his arms hung limply at his sides while he cried out in pain. Ira's three men were in a nice, neat pile, and each was totally dazed from whatever she'd done to them. I kicked the blonde-haired guy on the ground who had started this whole mess. He seemed the least injured somehow, so I figured I'd put him in charge of his friends. I doubted the guy would be able to talk for a few days, but he could still gather his friends and get them out of there. It was the least he could do after they'd all jumped in to defend him, and ended up getting their asses kicked. "Hey, get your friends and get out of here." The man gasped and held his throat as he looked up at me with panicked brown eyes. "Now," I said through gritted teeth. The man continued to gasp for breath, but he nodded and scrambled to get up. Then he helped his friends up and ushered them down the road back the way they'd come.
Well, that was exciting. You really know how to end on a good note, don't you?
Part of my plan, I teased with a grin.
I suspected as much.
The redhead smiled.
I really should be going now.
Are you sure you don't want me to walk you home? I didn't like the idea of her walking alone, especially not with what had just happened, though it was obvious the redhead could handle herself.
That's not necessary.
Iris smiled.
You should get back to the dragons, the girls too.
Are you sure?
Of course.
She nodded.
I will get home just fine.
All right. I hope to see you again, soon.
I hope for that as well.
Ira looked down and then back up at me through thick red eyelashes. I wanted to lean in and kiss her again, but it felt like the moment to do so had passed. The redhead blushed slightly and rubbed her arms before she shook her head.
I'm going to go now,
she said, and she gestured down the road. Oh, right. I'll see you soon, then.
Yeah.
Ira smiled softly.
Good night, Rath.
Good night, Ira, I said, and I watched her walk away down the road. Then I headed back into the yard and found Asta, Kaz, and the dragons curled up around the fire. The girls each had a fresh glass of mead, and they'd refilled mine as well. I walked over, picked up the glass, and sat between the two women.
That was a pleasant evening.
Asta smiled. It was nice, I smiled.
So, did you get a good night kiss? Oh, yes, do tell us.
Asta pushed with a grin. Well, yes and no. I looked down and took a drink of my mead.
Why not? Do you no longer find her a desirable?
I do. But some drunk asshole came down the road and interrupted us.
So you were about to kiss?
Cass asked with a smile. We kissed, but it was brief. The girls giggled, but I ignored them, and I took another drink of my mead.
So, I was thinking about tomorrow.
Cass said after a moment. What about tomorrow?
We can't barge into the Elf King's home, at least not yet.
Oh, you're right. We need to think of something else. Even if we could prove the king has dragons illegally, I don't think Odin would care enough to do anything about it.
You're probably right.
Asta nodded.
If he had cared, he would have done something long before now. What about if we don't go after the king just yet? I know you want to save the dragon in the dungeon, and we will, but I think we should go after the smaller dragon dealers first.
What do you mean?
Well, there's got to be more than one person involved in the dragon trade, right? So, I say we go after some of the men who are peddling the dragons. If we can take them out, we can try and find out who their boss is. You don't think the king is the boss? He might be.
Kaas nodded.
But if he's not and we attack, then Verd is bound to get out, and whoever the real boss is would have time to get away.
Oh, you're right. That's a good idea.
Asta.
Kaas said, and she turned to the elf girl.
Do you know where to find any dragon dealers? I've never met any personally.
The elf girl bit her lip.
But I believe they go to the market sometimes. I've seen some mean-looking men there before.
Okay. But if anyone sees us attack them, then it could still cause problems between Asgard and your homeworld.
You're right.
Kaas sighed and ran a hand through her curls.
Aesir attacking elves of any kind wouldn't be good. If our goal is to avoid breaking the treaty between our people, then we cannot be seen. What if we make ourselves invisible, like we did at the castle? I don't know.
Kaas pursed her lips.
If we're invisible, we can't talk to anyone. We can use your illusion magic.
Asta said with a smile.
Elves can see through weak enchantments, but if we work together, I think we can craft something strong enough to withstand cursory scrutiny. If you and Wrath have elf ears, then even if we find some dragon traitors to fight, it will just look like the elves fighting against elves.
Brilliant. I smiled at the elf girl. We all sat around the fire a while longer, and once I finished my mead, we went inside and headed to bed. The next morning came quickly, and before I knew it, my eyes opened to the dawn of a new day, shining in through the window. The girls and the dragons were still asleep around me, so I carefully pried myself away from them and got dressed to head outside. I started a fire, and then I picked some fresh fruit and used some dough from the night before to make some breakfast for us. I cut the dough into strips and wrapped them round the fresh fruit before I put them on the fire. It wasn't long until the smell of freshly baked apples and spices filled the air, and soon after that the girls and dragons all appeared in the doorway of the cottage. Asta said as she sniffed the air.
What smells delicious?
Blah ran right over to the fire and sniffed round. Breakfast! And you better hurry and get some before Blah tries to eat it all. I smiled and dished everyone up some breakfast, and it didn't take long for everyone to finish eating. We were all eager to get the day started, and after we'd finished eating, Kaas called me over to the grass in the yard.
Okay.
The Valkyrie grinned at me.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. It seemed the sorceress was more excited about the illusion we were about to undergo than I was. Kaas smiled, and then she grabbed my hand and closed her eyes. The Valkyrie began to murmur something, and a few seconds later, a red, sparkly dust surrounded us. I felt a slight tickle as the sparkles touched my ears, and I watched as Kaas's ears elongated. They became pointy at the ends, and I had to smile at the sight of her. It was strange to see the Valkyrie with ears like Asta's, and I knew my own looked just as odd. Kaas let go of my hands then, and I reached up and touched my ear. I could feel the altered shape, but it felt different than my skin, which I figured was part of the spell.
You two look wonderful,
Asta told us with a smile.
Do they look good?
Kaas chuckled and tossed her hair over her shoulder to show off her new ears.
They fit you well.
Asta nodded and reached out to touch one. Kaas put the canine enchantment back on the little dragons, and then it was time to set out.
I think we're ready,
I said, and I turned to Blah. Can you make us a portal? The little blue dragon nodded and closed his eyes. A second later, a small portal appeared, and it got larger and larger until I was able to fit through it. Good job, I told Blah. The little blue dragon flew up to land on my shoulders, and Inga did the same with Asta, while Ufe walked over and sat down in front of Kaas. The Valkyrie leaned down and picked up the little earth dragon. He was perfectly capable of flying, albeit not as well as Blah and Inga, but still there was no reason Kaas had to pick him up each time. As much as she thought Blah was spoiled, Ufe was well on his way to being just as rotten-smelling. After the dragons were in place, I grabbed Asta and Kaas's hands, and we all walked through the portal and into Asta's homeworld. Then we came out onto a dirt road, with woods all around. It was definitely Asta's homeworld we were in. The place seemed to glow with a golden light, and if it weren't for the terrible dragon trade, at first glance I'd think there couldn't possibly be anything evil there. The realm smelled floral and sweet, just like I remembered, and I took a deep breath in and savored the scent. All right, so which way should we go? Kaas pulled her map out of her satchel.
I had Asta help me with this map yesterday. It should be able to tell us where the marketplace is.
How did you do that? I inquired as I peered over her shoulder.
Magic, of course. I had Asta perform a spell to put everything she knew about her home world on the map.
The paper in Kaas's hand showed a small portion of the realm from Asta's memory, but it was enough for us to go off of, and the marketplace was included, which was all we really needed. There was a small sparkling dot that appeared to be where we were, and about an inch or so north was the marketplace. It doesn't look like we're too far away. Maybe an hour's walk or so?
Yes.
Asta agreed, and she turned to Bla.
Good job.
The little blue dragon smiled so big his eyes closed, and I could feel how proud he was of himself. Oh, he deserved that feeling. His powers had come a long way in a short time, and I just hoped mine would do the same.
Is there anything about elven culture Rat and I should know before we get to the market?
Kaas asked as we walked toward the town shown on the map. Asta shook her head.
Nothing I can think of. Light elves in Aesir, quite similar. Do you think anyone will be openly trying to sell dragons? Oh no.
Asta's brow furrowed.
It is frowned upon, so traders don't do business out in the open.
Are people punished for it? I asked. It was curious the king would dabble with dragon trading if he was also punishing those who got caught doing it.
I'm not sure. I've never even seen anyone get into trouble for it, but I also never saw a trade happen. It would make sense the king wouldn't punish anyone for it. They're probably working for him. If he took out the dealers, then he wouldn't have anyone to sell him dragons. The king is not a good man.
Don't worry, I told the elf girl. We'll figure out what's going on here. I couldn't say for sure the king was in charge of the dragon trade, though it would make sense if he were. He had ultimate authority in the realm, and he could easily hide whatever dealings were happening. Even if he wasn't in charge, though, he was clearly no stranger to the dragon trade, and he was most certainly protecting the men involved with it. As we walked, I thought again about the dragon inside the king's dungeon. We'd get them out soon enough, but Kaas was right. This was the best way to do things for now. We needed to take out the smaller dealers first and work our way up. It wasn't long before I could hear the bustle of the market ahead of us, and the road we were on got much more crowded with people going to and coming from the shopping center. We arrived at the market, and I took in the sight of it. The place was huge. It was on a large, open stretch of road, and there were vendors everywhere. As far as I could see, there were people moseying around and talking with vendors about their wares. I saw booths with beautiful stone pendants carved into various shapes, and other booths had beautiful clothing hung up for potential customers to look at. There was even one booth with a huge sign above it that offered to tell the customer's fortune. We made our way through the crowd and down the street, but we were careful to keep an eye out for any suspicious activity. Bla, Inger, and Ufe all stayed right in front of us, except for a couple of times when Bla ran over to food vendor booths to sniff around. Everything around us looked beautiful, and the aroma of delicious foods that filled the air was wonderful. It was hard to believe dragon smugglers hung out here. The market seemed to be such a happy place. The elves all got along as they shopped and sold their wares and ate and cooked. I didn't get the sense anyone thought they were above the vendors here, like I sometimes did in the Asgard market. Lineage was a big thing to Aesir, though, and most vendors came from vendor families. The market felt so welcoming I almost didn't want to leave. I needed to focus, though, so I pushed my happy feelings to the side and narrowed in on individuals who looked out of place. I watched as one elf man in a long, dark grey tunic wandered from booth to booth. He picked up different things to look at them and then set them back down again, but he didn't buy anything. It wasn't until we were near him by one of the booths that I realized he was sneakily pocketing the wares and replacing them with some sort of magical lookalikes. I watched as he picked up a beautiful gold necklace with a green leaf pendant. He turned it over in his hands and then seemed to set it back on the table, but in an act only I was paying attention to, he slipped the original necklace into his pocket. I wasn't sure how he did it. I presumed it was some sort of magic, but I wondered briefly if he could be involved in the trade. After some thought, though, I decided he was a thief, but probably not a dragon trader. If I were involved in an activity like that, I most certainly wouldn't draw extra attention to myself by stealing at the market where I was trying to secretly sell illegal goods. I didn't presume most dragon traders to be as smart as I was, but I also didn't think they were dumb enough to do what this asshole was doing. I thought about warning the vendors, but I also didn't want to attract attention to myself. Instead, I pointed him out to Kaas, and she discreetly cast an illusion spell on him so his dark grey tunic appeared as a hideous bright green. It would be more difficult for him to blend into the crowd when he was dressed to stand out. After that was taken care of, we continued on our mission to find a trader, and I once again set out to find anyone who didn't seem to fit in. I saw a few more men who fit my description at first, but one just seemed to be a pervert who sat in the grass and stared at every woman who walked by. Another one who wore all black and kept his head down turned out to just be a young elf boy shopping with his parents, and according to a conversation I'd overheard between one of the vendors and his parents, the young man was simply going through a phase. We'd been walking for a while already, but the market seemed to go on forever. Finally, I thought I saw what I was looking for. Near a meat vendor stood an elf male leaned up against a tree. He had long, dark brown hair and light blue eyes, and he wore a dark blue tunic. He wasn't doing anything, just stood and leaned against the tree as he watched the crowd, which was the suspicious part to me. Asta, do you see that man in the dark blue tunic?
I see him.
Kaas said.
Yes.
The elf girl answered. Does he look like the men you've seen here before?
I can't say for sure if I've seen him before.
Asta looked at me with wide yellow eyes and bitter lip.
But he does appear suspicious.
I think we found our guy, I said in hushed tones, as we continued to walk slowly through the market and pretended to look at the booths.
What should we do?
I thought for a moment. We hadn't exactly considered how we would handle it once we found the traders, but first off we had to be sure they were actually traders. I needed confirmation this man was an evil monster before I could feel justified about killing him. That meant I needed him to confess or show me his dragons. We need to talk to him.
What are you going to say?
Kaas asked, and she turned to look at me with violet eyes the size of the moon. I don't know yet. Just follow my lead. Bla, Inga, and Ufe stayed close to us as we made our way through the crowd and over to the man leaning against the tree. He stood upright when he saw us coming, and his eyes narrowed in on me. He knew I was the greatest threat to him. Apparently he wasn't as dumb as I had originally thought he might be.
What can I do for you, ladies and gentlemen?
The elf asked with a raised eyebrow. I'm hoping you have what I'm looking for.
It depends on what you're looking for,
the man countered.
Something in the scaly variety,
I said in an even tone, but I locked eyes with him pointedly.
If you know what I mean.
Having to act like a bad guy made my skin crawl, but if it meant I could save some dragons, then I would gladly pretend to be 100 bad guys to do so. The dragons needed their freedom more than I needed my pride.
I think I know what you mean,
he said, and he looked me up and down.
Great.
I smiled slightly at the thought of his head separated from his body.
Tell me,
the man said as he looked me over once more.
Where are you from?
We're from Isdell, I replied. I had no idea what the place was like, but I'd seen it on the map Kaas and Asta made, so I knew it was a legitimate place in the realm.
Oh, you came a good way, then. You come all this way, looking for the scaly variety of wares, as you put it.
Our last one had a bit of an accident, I said, and I gestured down to Bla, Inga, and Ufe. I hoped if I made him think I was being cruel to the dragons, then he wouldn't seem so suspicious of us. I needed to come across as an asshole, not the savior of dragons like I really was. It was clear the man vetted everyone before he took them back to see his wares. Asta said dragon trading was frowned upon, and this guy seemed to take that seriously, so I knew he wouldn't show us the dragons unless he thought we were just as terrible as he was.
You must have gotten a real tiny one.
Follow me. I'll show you some good ones to pick from.
My plan had worked.
I didn't like implying my little dragons were vicious, but that implication got the guy to relax, so it had been worth it. My heart rate spiked as the man led us around the back of the vendor booths and into the trees of the surrounding forest. I made sure to keep my hand on the hilt of my blade, just in case this was a trap of some kind. But I could see a small path worn on the ground as we walked, and I figured this guy must be here a lot. Finally, we got to a large cart with a tarp over it. I could hear small squawks and whimpers, and my heart sank. The man turned round, smiled, and yanked the tarp off.
"I think you'll find what you're looking for here,"
he said.
Under the tarp were at least a dozen cages, and each one held a small, terrified baby dragon. They squawked even louder when he pulled the tarp off, and the sound of their fear only fueled my rage.
My nostrils flared, and my grip on my sword tightened.
We'd found our dealer. Now all that was left to do was make him pay.